Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said, whoa, stop. We are all representatives of God, right? It's supposed to be as Christian. There's only one, the representative of God. The. He's speaking right now. So, the representative of God said this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Stop. We talked about that the last 2 weeks. He's got to be first. The reason some of you Christianity ain't working, you're not excited about it, is because you're halfway. See, God's got to be first in your recreation. He's got to be first in every part. He's got to be first in the way you do your business. He's got to be first in all these things. When he's first in all, if he's not first, it breaks down. Things start to break down. The rest of it doesn't work. Well, when you try to please God first, that doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But look what he says. And the second is like it. Put it up on the same level. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask you in the name of Jesus that you will bind every religious spirit, everything. God, I ask you to be with us. And God, I pray that you will speak to us, help us. God, begin today to change our life. In Jesus' name, amen. What does Christianity look like? What's it supposed to look like? What's your moral compass? We all got them. You got one. Whether you have ever put it down or not, you have a moral compass by which you judge people and you judge situations. You have one. By the way you judge whether someone is godly or not, you have a set of code that you say, now that's a godly person. That's an ungodly person. I haven't been very godly lately, Brother Allen. I feel real good. I'm being godly. Where do you get that distinction? You get this from some moral code that has been put inside of you, mainly from our parents, but a lot of times from the church or who we listen to, who we've given place to. How do you know when you're being godly? And you go, oh, it's simple. Really? See, God gave different individual commands to different people. Now, I'm going to mess with your religious spirits today, and don't get mad. Hear me all the way through before you walk out, okay? See, some people think it's okay to have a glass of wine with their meal. Some people think that's sin. Well, my daddy taught me it was okay. But my mama said it wasn't. Some people wear their hair a certain way because it's godly. Some people would never wear their hair that way. Some of you ladies would never want to be seen out in public without makeup on. Right? Or pink hair. I'm going to show up here one Sunday with some wild... PJ, one day I'm going to show up. I want some wild color hair just to shake people up a little bit. Some people, listen, hear me now. In this very town, there are some people that think you ladies are going to hell because you cut your hair. Right? I mean, I ain't making that up. That's true. There are some people, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. So, and then there are some people that say this and that. That's why I'm wearing this today. I got on purpose. I want to cover all the religious aspects here today. See, some of you, I'm casual, so I got jeans on. But then some of you like to wear shorts and all that, so I put my t-shirt on. But then for all you really rigid religious people, I got my coat on. So I see, I'm appealing to my crowd. All right, but listen, Jesus gave individual commands to people. Like if God tells Bobby, I want you to go and pray an hour at 5 o'clock in the morning every day during the week, then if Bobby does not do that, that is sin to Bobby, right? If I say right, where we get in trouble, if I look at me, where religion has been, I mean, listen, the world is going nuts. They're shooting themselves up with heroin. They're telling us, listen, dude, can I jump on this bandwagon just for a second? Just for a second. It insults my intelligence, and please never come to me with this argument because I will throw my Bible, the biggest Bible I have, at you. They say marijuana is not addicting. That's the stupidest thing I have ever heard. That insults my intelligence. You know why? You know why? I mean, when I'm watching young men give up millions of dollars because they can't stop smoking weed, that's by definition an addiction. I just can't give. You're going to give up millions and millions. We had a kid standing in this hill. We're trying to help get him a place, get him a future. And he said, you know, I just can't. I just like that weed. I can't stop. It's going to take everything. Now he's in a home for juvenile delinquents. That's an addiction. I don't know how I got on that. Somebody needed to hear that. So that ain't in my sermon. But what I want you to understand is this. How can I see where we get into trouble is when Bobby, and this is where religions have been formed, denominations have been formed, when God told Bobby, now he judges everybody else based on that word. You're not godly because you don't come to my prayer meeting at 5 o'clock. Does that make sense? You're not as godly as I am. It does say, do not let your outward adornment be what's beautiful about you. I'm sure somebody the Lord spoke that to. And where we get into trouble is we start judging godliness based on our own personal opinions. That's why they're not knocking down our doors when we've got the answer. I've got peace. I don't need a drug to have peace. I got it. I got Jesus Christ. He is peace. He makes me peaceful. He lets me not go crazy in traffic. Now, listen, I'm laying a foundation. We are going to dig into this deep this summer. But you need to understand this foundation. We are judging godliness the wrong way. And I want us to start judging it rightly. Okay? I want us to start. I mean, some people judge because some people believe that if you're looking at your phone for your Bible, that's ungodly. Some people believe, I mean, oh my God, you got the wrong Bible? Oh, well, you're definitely going to hell. Yeah, I mean, it's just, and it's all based on personal conviction that I want to implement on you. Instead of saying, okay, what is the true judge? Because it cannot be, listen to me now, everybody listen to me. It cannot be the Pharisees. It cannot be the religious things, because God looked at them and blasted them. What is the true code of morality? First of all, it can't be religion. It can't be the Pharisees. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It can't be an outward set of rules. It cannot be that, because, first of all, he gave different commands, and the ones that were living it to a T. Listen, don't you think that Pharisees, we would not consider them hypocrites? Because they were really living it out every day. But they were doing it out of selfishness instead of the love of God. And God looks at your heart. Are you hearing me? What is the true code for the New Testament Christian? It is, everybody hear me, it is the law of love. The law of love. That is our commandment. We are to love God, and I told you it all breaks down if you don't do that. You got to do that wholeheartedly. But what does that love look like? He says, okay, if you're going to love God, let me show you what it looks like. Love your fellow man. How can you say you love God? How can you say you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? What does loving God look like? It looks like love your neighbor. How does that look? Look at these scriptures. It's amazing. The law of love, Romans 13, 9 and 10. Look what it says. For a command, the commandments, you say, don't commit adultery, murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet. If there are any other commandments, they all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The law does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Wow. Look at the next one, Galatians 5:14. Look at it. It says that for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Look at James 2:8. I hope you're writing these down. I'm giving you stuff to study during the week. James 2:8 says this, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, if you want to know what it looks like, if you want to know what being a Christian looks like, if you want to know how I want it to look, if you want to know what you're supposed to do, if you want to know my will for your life, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, the reason we don't like that, you know why we don't like that? Because the other way, there's wiggle room. Well, God didn't tell me not to drink wine, so I can drink wine. I mean, I love it, you know, and this is our culture. I love it. Listen, I'm not the beer police. I'm doing this on purpose, so I'm taking you down this road so I can put the trap on you. I love it when I walk up and people are drinking their beers and all of a sudden they start hiding. Hey, brother, how you doing? I mean, what? Hey. I remember one time. One time I was mad. I was kind of upset. And when I'm upset at my boys, there are no rules. And so I wanted to make sure that I was crystal clear in my instructions. And so I went to a bar here in town to make sure that one of Amy's children were not there. And man, you should have seen that. Of course, you know, I've been here. Man, I walk in that bar, and it's like cockroaches when the light comes on. I mean, they're sitting at the table, they're taking their drinks and putting them on the floor. You know, they're like, I'm thinking, man, you're in a bar. I know what you're doing. I just like to hang out. I just come here for the appetizers, Brother Allen. Listen, but what you need to understand is this. What you need to understand is this. What are they judging by? There's this moral code that you have. And all of a sudden, you start reacting. Now, some of you I've lost. Did you hear the preacher say it's okay to drink? I think he said it's okay to drink. You know, I mean, some of you are gone. No, I'm not saying it's okay to drink. What I am saying is that you have a moral code. And it's most of the time the wrong one. We need to let our moral code be what Jesus Christ wants our moral code to be. It is the law of love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Do you see that? I don't have to dress a certain way. I don't have to do a certain thing. I don't have to act a certain way. He is saying, by this, all men will, you'll know, they'll know you're my disciples. The law of love. Matthew 5:48. Look at this one. Wow, what a powerful. Matthew 5:48 says this. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. All right, before I tell you the story behind that verse, just leave that verse up for me. Before I tell you what that is, okay? Me and Amy have been around some perfect people. We have, especially when we were homeschooling. You know, when we started, we homeschooled for about 10 years, and then it just got too many grades. I couldn't remember what grade that. What grade are you in? I mean, it was just too many. We just had to quit. But we go to these homeschooling conventions, and we come back to our hotel just, we're horrible parents. God, Amy, you're terrible. You're a horrible mother. Look at what this lady's doing. She's got it all. I mean, they made us feel, they were perfect, but they made us feel yucky. It wasn't godly. It did not inspire me to greatness. He cannot be talking. Put that verse back up there, please. He cannot be talking about a set of moral codes. He's got to be talking about, in the context of this scripture, he is talking about loving your enemies. He is talking about loving people who don't deserve it. And he said, if you do that, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. This is a big deal to God. Are you hearing me? This is a big deal to God. Now, let me define love. Let me make sure we understand what love is. I'm going to define it for you. First of all, the world is trying to define love. They're, you know, that's what the world is doing. The news media, they're not reporting the news. They're telling you what's wrong and right based on their moral code. Right? That's exactly what they're doing. They're telling you what's right and wrong based on what they believe is right and wrong. They have no ultimate justice. They're just telling you what's right and wrong based on their opinion. What they believe is right and wrong. The world cannot define. Listen, write this down if you're taking notes. Loving, I'm going to define it in just a second. Love is not acceptance. What does that mean? I can love somebody and not accept their lifestyle. I love people that I don't agree with their lifestyle. I can love Muslims. I will never agree with their lifestyle. I can love people that are drug addicts. I can love people that make choices. See, they're trying to define people. A lot of the movements now, they preach love. Well, your Bible says Jesus wants you to love everybody. They're not meaning love. They're wanting me to say, I accept your lifestyle. Right? That's not God's definition of love. I can love them and not accept their lifestyle. I'm never going to accept divorce between me and Amy. I don't want that. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept the homosexual lifestyle. I want them here. We should love on them. I'm not going to accept somebody that says marijuana is okay. I'm not going to accept that, but that doesn't mean I can't love them. The definition of love is this. It's called agape in those verses. All those verses I just read use the same Greek word. It's called agape. It means unconditional love. But see, we always stop right there. Unconditional love, it also means love by choice. An act of my will to love you. God chose to love you before you were born. And before you ever committed one sin, He chose to love you. He has not changed that choice. Why can't you receive that? And then He turns around and says, okay, now I want you to love that way. It is an act. It's not based on achievements, talents, race, economy, strengths, weaknesses. It's not based on... It's love that demands nothing in return. You don't have to change. I'm going to love you anyway. Is not God just like that? Does He want us to change? Yes. Absolutely. But God loves you that way. He chose to love you. It's action words. Everybody turn your Bibles. Gosh, I got to do this. I am so sorry that 1 Corinthians 13 has been relegated to weddings. I wish it would be outlawed. You cannot use this in a wedding. Because we have belittled it so much. I want to read this to you. Wait a minute. Look, everybody looking? Everybody looking? This is not my words. Though I speak with all... This is for all our Pentecostals. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know what that means in South Mississippi vernacular? You're a pain in the butt. Can we send that over the internet? Is that bad? I just did. Yeah. You're an irritant. Do you see what he just said? You can have all those religious credentials, and if you don't have love, nobody wants to be around you. You're yucky. Look at the next one. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, and I have the best stories, and I'm blessed, and I have more money than you, and though I can remove mountains, but have not love, read it what it says. I am nothing. Gee whiz. Look at the next one. It just gets worse. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Can I say something to you? Let me get on my soapbox just real quick. If you sacrifice, and we're going to talk more about this, we're going to go deep. I'm just trying to lay a foundation today. If you sacrifice relationships over theological differences other than Jesus Christ is Lord, now, I can be kind to you and all that, but if you don't believe Jesus is Lord, we kind of don't have nothing to talk about. Unless I'm trying to talk to you about Jesus is Lord. You know what I'm saying? But I know people that won't talk to me because I don't believe in you can lose your salvation. And they're like, you poor, deceived man. There are people that won't let me in their church because I use the wrong Bible. Nothing. That's why your church means nothing. They're not changing anything in anybody's heart. Nothing. And then he says, okay, now let me tell you what love is. Everybody looking? Look, this will change your marriage. Don't gripe and complain to me about your husband or wife if you hadn't loved them yet. Oh, it's God to get a hold of my husband. He's bad. He won't do nothing. Love is, some of your Bible says patient. I like this one. Suffers long. See, most of you spend most of your prayer time trying to get God to not let you have any suffering. And he said, look, you're going to follow me? We're going to suffer long. He's patient. What? Brother Allen, I ain't into this sermon. I like the sermon that tells me Jesus loves me. He does love you. He suffered long with you. I know some of you. And those of you who think he hadn't suffered long, he's still suffering with your stupid pride. Look at the next one. Love does not envy. You know why? You know what squelches the Holy Spirit from doing miracles? Miss Barbara, this just hit me the other day. You know what squelches the Holy Spirit from doing miracles? Because we don't rejoice when they happen. We're mad that we didn't get it. I've had people during a prophetic conference walk out of here in a parking lot mad as a wet hen. I fasted all day and I didn't get a word. And the person next to me got that polite girl over there that don't deserve it at all. She just showed up, got the big word, and I didn't get it. You think I'm lying? I almost quoted her. I can't make God do miracles, but I can set an atmosphere. How about rejoicing when somebody, don't envy their miracle. How about rejoice with them? How about love on them? Rejoice. You can be excited. Some of you are in debt because you're envious of your neighbor having a new car. Don't nobody shout me down now. There's nothing wrong with new cars, but you're envious. And so you're not rejoicing with them. You just go, well, by God, we'll sell one of the children. We'll do something. I'm going to have that. Look at it. Love to, this will fix your marriage today. Jesse, I'm going to help you today. Love does not behave rudely. Oh, my God. God doesn't want me to be rude? Well, I'm American. By God, I say what I think. Well, I hope America can save your soul. Love doesn't behave rudely. Well, I don't want to be a doormat. You can be strong without being a doormat. Ma'am, I disagree with the way you're doing this. I went to my insurance agent. I said, I am in highly perturbed that we're something ain't right. Paying too much. I wasn't rude. Didn't belittle them. Didn't talk bad about the heritage. And guess what? Didn't get no satisfaction. So does that mean I get mad and storm out and cuss and holler? Well, they pushed me. The devil made me do it. Oh. No, love doesn't behave like that. Love doesn't seek its own. Oh, my God. How about trying to see how you can bless your wife instead of... And I hate it when I preach sermons like this. I hate it. I would love for you to have this job because God makes me live them out. He just makes you. I had my day planned out. I was going to play golf. I told my son, I'm fine. My wife told her she could go shopping with her daughter-in-laws and all that. But in my back of my mind, I had a plan. I was going to get one of these teenage girls around here to keep mine and Micah's kids, and we going to play golf. I got up yesterday morning. And I know what I'm preaching. I've already got it down. The Lord said, how about blessing your wife? And I'm like, well, Lord, I let her go shopping. The Lord said, no. Why don't you not seek your own and seek her good? But Lord, that's just a sermon. That's not really for the pastor. Guess what I did yesterday morning? We made a flower bed for my wife. And put to, oh yeah, all. Hey, listen, I know why, I remember why I didn't get in the garden. It's expensive. I mean, all them little bricks, I'm thinking they're just bricks, man. No, they charge a bunch for that stuff. The bags of stuff and all that stuff. And I'm sitting there going, man, I should be playing golf right now. And the Lord said, no. You're choosing to love your wife. That's what it looks like. Love is not easily provoked. Can I tell you, I'm going to just throw this out. If you're always getting offended with somebody, and you're one drama after the other, problem's you. I ain't got time to go into it, but it's your problem. It's all them people. You're easily offended. When I'm around people that are easily offended, you know what I do? If I'm not feeling very spiritual, I just go and say something to offend them, get them on long. Because I know it's going to happen anyway. You know, it's going to happen. I'm going to say something that I didn't mean. And I go, I didn't mean that. They're offended anyway, so let's just go ahead and say something. No, I didn't do that. Look, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. Can I say something the Lord brought to my mind this morning? Man, the things you laugh at. You know what I can't laugh at anymore? The more I fall in love with Jesus, movies like Jackass and all those that belittle human beings, just do stupid stuff to their own self. Man, the more I love Jesus, man, He's not happy about that. Man, if you're watching pornography, man, that's somebody else's daughter. That's somebody else's daughter. I can't love and rejoice in iniquity. I can't do that and follow Christ because it's not loving, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You know, a good way to know if you're walking in love or not? If you always believe what people tell you about other people. You're one of those conspiracy theorists. They always got a hidden agenda. Always, yeah, I know, they trying to trick me. Yeah, them government people, hey. Now, some of them are doing that, I know, but listen to me. If you're one of those people that always believe the worst about people, you're not walking in love. Can't. Because he says, that kind of love, when you do that, you know how we're going to change this town? We're going to love them to death. Love never fails. Everybody just say that. That kind of love never fails. Just say it out loud. Love never fails. Jesus Christ came on the cross. He chose to love us. He didn't matter about the thing. I read a story back in the 70s about an Argentine. He was a professional golfer here on the PGA. He was from Argentina. And he was a good man, a godly man. And he wasn't the greatest golfer, but every once in a while he won a tournament. True story. And he celebrates and all that stuff, and they give him his check, and he walks out in the parking lot, and there's this lady there, dressed down, looks haggard, younger lady, but looks rough, and she said, "My son is dying. My son is dying, and he's got blood, he needs blood transfusion, he's got this disease, and we ain't got no money, we hadn't eaten and all this stuff." And the man was so moved with love, he took his winner's check right there in the parking lot. Other golfers saw it, and he signed it, endorsed it, and gave it to her. 2 weeks later, one of the PGA officials came to him, like a lot of Christians do. See, some of you are scared to love because you're afraid of getting took. How many people have taken the love of Christ and walked away? Love doesn't worry about that. He walked up to him and said, "Sir, I want to tell you that woman that you gave that check to, she was a scam artist. She scammed you. She lied about all that. She took your money." He was real arrogant about it. People at the table said he was like gloating over you got took. And the guy looked at the man and said, "Are you telling me there's not a kid dying of this disease?" He said, "That's right." He said, "Well, that's the best news I heard all day." Now, that's love God can use. How do we do that? Let me just share this with you, and I'm almost finished. We love no matter what, pure love, no matter what the consequences, no matter what their condition is. We love who God calls us to love. And we're going to learn more about that. You can't love the whole world like that. You can't. You as an individual. But you can love people in your world. I can love people. And we as a church can love the people in our world. Amen? We'll talk more about that. How? Because it just ain't in me. It's not in our flesh to do this. But John 13:34, before I tell you the story, Jesus is about to die, and he's told his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Now let me tell you a story. And then he said, "I've never seen this before." This is, and we're going to talk about this later, this is when the story and the context is when Jesus washed their feet. We're going to talk about it. He said, "Do you know what I've done to you?" It's incredible. But if you know Jewish history, and I know you don't because I didn't until I studied it. They made me study it, but I did it sort of willing. Jewish history, men, like if I had something against Justin, me and him were at odds. If we were at a party, here's what would happen. I would take... They had a sauce that they would dip their flatbread in. And they would just dip it in it. And if I wanted to make up, see, because I mean, men are men. We've been the same. You know, we communicate through grunts and looks, and, you know, my wife don't get it, and she wants 1,000 words, and I want to give her, and, you know, and all that. Well, here's what happens. If I'm, me and Justin had some eyes, I want to make up. I grab the bowl of soup, the bowl of stuff, sauce that you dip in. I dip my bread in, and I offer it to him. And what communicates me that we're all good is if he dips his bread in it, then we're all good. Well, if you look at that passage, and we'll look at it next week, he did that to Judas. And Judas didn't dip his bread in it. And that's when Jesus said, what you must do, do quickly. And the Bible says, from that moment on, Satan entered Judas. Don't you tell me Judas didn't have a choice. Jesus Christ even gave him. But the problem with Judas, he never received the love God gave him. He was like a lot of you. How in the world can we take the world if some of you doubt whether God loves you and whether he's for you or not? I mean, how are you going to love a God with all your heart if you're not sure if he loves you? Well, what about all this bad stuff, man? You know, he walks us through every storm. But in the midst of that, after Judas had left the room, because Judas had never received the Father's love, after he left the room, now I want you to love people the way I've loved you. He upped it up a step. I can't love people like this until I receive how much God loves me and believe it. God loves me, and now I can turn around and love you that way. I can't do it. You got to know in your heart God is for you. We talked about that last week, and we'll talk about this scripture more. But I want to share one more thing with you. That once Judas left the room, that's when he knew their heart. You've got to receive it. To give it. Love is the most powerful thing. Love is what changes people. You're not, listen, you know, some of you won't witness to people. Everybody look at me. Please hear this. You won't witness to people because you're afraid that they'll trick you. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to talk anybody into the kingdom of heaven. It's love that overconquers their soul. Why are we going to do the things we do? Because the love of God has conquered our soul. That's why we're going to do love. If you remember the movie, and I tried to watch it. Me and the boys tried to watch it. We couldn't. Les Miserables. Remember that? Came out as a musical. And they sang every word. I was wore out. About 20 minutes, I just couldn't take it, man. And everybody said, oh, it's great. I just was wore out, man. But I missed the best part. You know the best part of the story is? The main character, the guy who's in prison and all that stuff, he goes to the pastor's house, the vicar, which is pastor. And the pastor takes him in, gives him stuff. And he just couldn't help himself. He stole some silver plates and everything. Stole some stuff from him. He later got caught. And they brought him to the pastor and said, we caught him with your stuff. He said, oh, he didn't take that. That was a gift. In fact, he forgot the lampstands too. Here, take those. And it was on the act of that love that that man's heart was totally changed. We're not going to change the world by our... I mean, I love all this stuff and all the apps and the sounds and bells and whistles and how cool we look and how flashy I dress and all that stuff. Look at me. We're not going to change the world. You're not going to change your family member by wooing them with an argument. You're going to break them down by loving them. That's how you change them. That's what breaks people down. They have no answer to it. Now, I want everybody to focus in on what I'm saying. And then we're fixing to have a love fest in this place. Because if we can't do it here, we can't do it outside. Right? I am in love with my sons. I am. I love being a dad. Now, they aggravate me. I've whooped them a bunch to get that their mother out of them, but I mean, sometimes they do stuff, but listen to me. Everybody look at me. I absolutely am in love with my children. Listen to me. You listening? You might treat me poorly, but if you bless them, if you talk good about them, if you give them a job, if you feed them, it doesn't matter what you do to me. I'm going to like you. I'm going to have fond thoughts toward you. Because those are my sons and I love them. And I know they do wrong sometimes. And I know they make mistakes. And I know they ain't perfect. But they're my sons. They're my family. I have committed every bit of resources I have. And some I don't have for their well-being. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you want to bless me, you bless one of them. And I'm going to have fond thoughts toward you. Everybody look at me. Here's the trap. You can bless me, buy me lunch, give me that new truck I'm wanting, do all kinds of things for me. But if you treat my children bad, if you talk bad of all you gossips and think it's okay, if you talk bad about my children, if you hurt them, if you hurt their feelings, if you are mean to them, it does not matter what you do for me. I am not going to have fond thoughts toward you. And some of you wonder why God is a million miles away. You cannot treat His children in unkind ways. Period. He doesn't care how holy and how much you abstain and all that stuff and how spiritual and how much you speak in tongues. If you don't treat His children right, it ain't going to go right for you. Period. He didn't leave us no wiggle room. Everybody look at me. That starts at home. Men, if your wife is a Christian, that's a child of God. I can't treat them rudely or unkindly. Doesn't mean I have to agree with everything. I mean, me and Amy rarely agree. We got happy when we agreed about something. We started laughing. Oh, yeah. Some of you better wake up. Now look at me now. Please hear me. You cannot violate one of the two commands. There's only two. You can't violate it. Love them as I have loved you. Value people. Think about that before you type that on Facebook. Think about that before you say something with your mouth. Think about that before you holler something or act a certain way. God, you know, come on, Todd, I'm finished. Everybody look at me. You know why I don't do certain things? You know why I don't sleep around on anything? It ain't because the Bible says it. Yeah, I got a bunch of people that'll hurt me. One of the things. But you know the main reason? It ain't because the Bible says it's wrong. I know for you religious people that just drives you nuts. Because the Bible has said it's wrong since there was a Bible. And boy, a whole bunch of preachers have done it. You know why I don't? Because I am in love with her. And I don't want to mess it up. You know how I love her? I agape love her. I choose to love her every day. And it looks like this. Patience and kindness, and I don't behave rudely and all that stuff. That's what it looks like in real time. But I choose to do it every day. You know why I want to follow the Lord? I don't want to sin. See, some of you are still trapped in sin. How petty is that? I don't want to sin simply because I don't want to mess up what I got with the Lord. I don't want anything else coming between us. There's only two commands. So I want to begin with the question I began, end with the question I began with. How godly are you? How godly is your walk? The command to love thy neighbor. We're going to learn what that, I hope you don't miss a time. We're going to learn what that looks like in detail. Okay? But you got to start. Here's your assignment. Every day, you listening? Every day this week, I want you to read 1 Corinthians 13 out loud in your home. Just read it out loud. You'll find out Jesus will start showing up. He'll start coming because you're setting an atmosphere that he likes.